Blog Talk Radio.
Mardi Gras, put your hands together. Got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back. This means war. This means.
This means war.
This means.
This means war.
This means.
This means war.
Put them together. I got joy in my soul. God is in control.
Once again, tuned in to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am your host, Brother James Brown, Jr., and we do come to you live from Hopper Woods, Michigan, each and every Thursday and every Saturday night from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But on tonight, we have none other than our brother in Christ, Deacon Marvin Cox, will be sharing with us another inspirational poem first, as he always do, and then he's going to share with us part two of his message titled, It's You. So you want to make sure you have your Bibles, your pens and paper ready so that you can follow along as we go through God's Word together on tonight. We always open up with prayer, so we're going to do the same thing on tonight. I'm asking all listeners, if you would please pray with me on tonight, because we serve an awesome God who can hear and answer all of our prayers at the same time. What a mighty God we serve. Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, we come once again, touching and agreeing, realizing and knowing that you are God and you are God alone, and you are worthy of our praise. We thank you for who you are, Lord. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for just another day that you have made, and you've allowed us to wake up and see it without hurt, harm, or danger, and without receiving bad news through the night. We just bless your name on tonight. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, even your sufficient grace toward each one of us, even though we don't deserve it. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we come now asking that you would forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, Deacon Marvin Cox, his entire family, and every saved believer all over the land that's tuned into this worldwide platform on tonight. We ask that you would forgive us of all of our sins and transgressions. Your word lets us know that all have sinned and come short of your glory. So that's why we are so grateful tonight for your Son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, and soon coming King, that we can come through him and in his name and be forgiven of our sins and transgressions so that our work for you will not be in vain. And that way we can continue to move forward and fulfill the work and assignments that you have assigned to each one of our hands to do that would give you glory, honor, and praise. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. And Father, we come now and lift up all those that are sick and afflicted with the COVID virus all over the land. It is spreading rapid. And we know that you are still God. You are still healing, delivering, and setting your people free. Not only those that are benefited with the COVID virus, but all those that are sick and afflicted for whatever reasons, all those that have mental and suicidal thoughts and those that are depressed on tonight, we lift them up to you right now, ask that you would touch, heal, and deliver each one of them, because we know that you're able in the name of Jesus. And after you have healed them, we pray, Lord, that they will be able to open their own mouth and not be ashamed and let the world know that it was you and you alone who have healed them, that you would get the glory. We also come now, Heavenly Father, lifting up all those, Heavenly Father, that have lost loved ones all over the land. Let them remember and know that earth still has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. Let them feel your peace, your joy, your presence, and your strength, even while they're going through the hour of bereavement. In the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we pray now that you will move by your Spirit on tonight, as you always do through your man of God, as he delivers your word. We pray that every listener will have an open ear and open heart to receive your word on tonight. And we especially lift up all those that may be tuning in on tonight that may not be saved in Jesus' name, that do not have a personal relationship with your son, Jesus Christ. It's our hope and prayer and desire that something will be said on tonight through your word that will prick their hearts to the point that they will open their own mouth and confess their sins and transgression, and they will also ask Jesus Christ to come into their hearts and save them even on tonight. And after they have become saved, you will reveal to them what their God purpose is, so that they will be able to walk in it and fulfill it in the earth, that you will be glorified through them, is our prayer in the name of Jesus. We lift up our sisters and brothers in Christ, Heavenly Father, on the West Coast, all over in Colorado, that has been devastated by the snowstorms and the wildfires on the West Coast. Those that are still in Kentucky that have lost homes and loved ones, Heavenly Father, due to the fires and the devastation all over the land, we ask that you will move by your Spirit, strengthen them, Heavenly Father, and let them remember that they still need to continue to look unto the hills from which their help, for all of their help and all of our help comes from you. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that without you, we know that we are nothing and we can do nothing without you. We thank you that we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. So now, Lord, we pray that you will move by your Spirit over our ways on tonight. Help us to decrease so that you may increase in each one of us, that you will get the glory in the name of Jesus. Have your way, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, tonight's spiritual food thought comes to us saying, I'll be starting this year, 2022, by putting God first in everything. Once again, tonight's spiritual food thought, starting this year in 2022, by putting God first in everything. I do want the listeners to know that I do welcome all comments and feedback from listeners. You can always email me at all lowercase, james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. And I do want the listeners to be on notice that any music that's played over this worldwide platform on tonight, I do not own the copyrights to any music that's played over this worldwide platform. I want the listeners to be aware of that. Again, that I do not own the copyrights to any music that's played on this worldwide platform. If you have your pen and paper ready to follow along with Deacon Marvin Cox, I would like for you to take down these announcements as well. For those of you that may be new listeners and new followers of this worldwide ministry and platform, every first Thursday night, we have none other than Deacon Marvin Cox bring forth God's word. Then we have every first Saturday night, Minister Tawan Eppinger. He's a minister at the Morning Star Baptist Church, where I serve as their musician. He is a member of the Morningstar Baptist Church, where Pastor Isaiah Tillman Jr. is the pastor. Minister Tawan Eppinger brings forth God's word every first Saturday night over this worldwide platform. Every second Thursday night, we have Bishop Rosemary Giroux out of Slidesdale, Louisiana, brings forth God's word. Every second Saturday night, Deacon Marvin Cox comes back bringing forth God's word. Every third Thursday night, we have Overseer Joseph E. Jackson out of Washington, D.C., brings forth God's word. Then every third Saturday night, we have Deacon Blakely, the Sunday school superintendent at the Morning Star Baptist Church. He delivered God's word. And then we have every fourth Thursday night, we have, I have for this month, we have special guests coming up. But every fourth Saturday night, we have prophetess Sherry Walker Shy out of Conyers, Georgia, before God's word. And then every fourth Saturday night, Norman King, cousin, the pastor of Victor's Outreach Ministries, which is located in Greensboro, North Carolina, he delivered God's word over this worldwide platform. So I pray that you have taken down these notes so that you can follow along and be blessed by the word of God through these awesome men and women of God that he's using to spread the good news of Jesus Christ over this worldwide platform. Well, I'm going to do something different on tonight. I'm going to open up the phone lines on tonight. I don't normally open up the phone lines for the listeners, but I'm going to do that on tonight so that anyone that feel free, if you want to give your shout out or your praise on while the man of God is delivering God's word, feel free to let him know that you're listening and you're backing him up with your amens and hallelujahs, whatever God put on your heart to help you to do while he's delivering God's word. I want to give a shout out real quick before we go to our music break to my pastor and shepherd, Bishop James A. Jennings, and to my church family, the Greater Shield of Faith Baptist Church. I want to give a shout out to them on tonight as well. And once again, Happy New Year to everyone. I thank God for allowing me and my twin sister, Jeanette Jones, to see another birthday on yesterday. We celebrated 64 years on yesterday, and to God be the glory. We are still here, and I just give God the glory for it. So right now we're going to go to our music break. The word of God said the fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. So that's why I'm going to play on tonight's while the music break song, Pray For Me. And following the music break, we're going to come back. We're going to yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox. Enjoy the music break.
Come on, KD.
This is an old song from North Carolina, Currituck, North Carolina. Maybe some of y'all know this, but I'm going to sing this song here. My, my, my. Pray for me. Yes, sir. Need a prayer. Come on, open your mouth, everybody.
and say pray.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Yes, pray for me. Again, I say what the Word of God says, the fervent prayers of the righteous avail of much. So we know that the world, this land needs to be healed, and we need to be praying that God will heal the land. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will heal the land. I will forgive and heal the land. So we know that God is a promise keeper. So I want the listeners to know that we do have some more listeners that have dialed in on tonight. I want the new listeners that just dialed in tonight to know that the lines are open on tonight. I don't normally do this, but the lines are open for anyone that's on the line. If you want to interject or back up the man of God that's delivering God's word, the lines are open. Feel free to say amen. Let them know that you're listening on tonight. So we are now ready to receive none other than Deacon Cox. I now yield the mic to you.
Amen. Thank the Lord once again. Thank Brother Brown. Thank the audience that have made this possible. It's truly an honor and a privilege and a pleasure to bring forth God's word. Now, the poem that the Lord gave me for tonight is "Don't Touch That. It Doesn't Belong to You." Don't touch that. It doesn't belong to you. You don't have no idea of the trouble it can get you into. Although we have a fascination for the unknown, please don't touch that. Just leave it alone. Walk away from it before it brings you down and you take up residence underground. It could truly kill you, make you stone cold dead. Resist this thing. Get it out of your head. Don't touch that, you disobedient child. It has the ability to drive you wild. Fight as hard as you can. Resist this sensation. The thing you shouldn't touch, they call it temptation. He knows what you need. He knows what you like. When he comes to visit you, tell him to take a hike. Believe me, he will visit you. You can't keep him away, but you can put him on the run. When you sincerely pray, pray for the things that you know are right. Pray, pray, and then pray some more with all your might. It will come when you are weak. It will come when you are strong. It will tell you that it's right when you know that it's wrong. And temptation you can never trust. The reason so healthy, he's so healthy, he feeds on your lust. He will hold you hostage and imprison your mind. It will blur your common sense and make you blind. Blind to the fact that this is not God's will. When he makes you an offer, try your best to be still. He will make you an offer that's too good to be true. So please don't touch that. It doesn't belong to you. Amen. We're going to immediately go into tonight's lesson. It's a continuation of the last time the Lord blessed me to bring forth his word, and I'll be reading to you from 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 7. And it reads, And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drink of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take his own flock and of his own herd to best for the wayfaring man. They came unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, that the word that the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Now, our subject for last week, as it is this week, is, it's you. Now, I have to digress before I progress. I'm going to give you a little history of what happened here. See, Nathan was sent to David to tell him about himself. And in the process of him telling him about himself, he went to confront him. But we found out last week that there's a proper way and an improper way of confronting somebody, of telling them what thus says the Lord. And so Nathan, he painted a picture to David, and David began to get extremely upset because he did not or was not able to associate the story that was being told unto himself. And he talked about this rich man, which was King David. He talked about a poor man who was nameless at this particular time. He talked about how much this rich man had, how he had everything and he had it to spare. And then this one man had this little lamb, and he loved and he cherished that lamb. As a matter of fact, he didn't want to use the lamb for food or anything. He just loved that lamb, and he took care of that lamb, and he fed that lamb from his own table. And the lamb even slept with him. And so, as opposed to being just another animal, this lamb became what you would call a pet to this man. That's how sometimes we get so attached to our pets. It's just like they become members of the family. And then this man come, a wayfaring man, they say, which was a traveler. And so the rich man, he looked upon the poor man, because we know that nowadays rich people have a tremendous amount of power. And so the poor man could not protest against it, because the rich man took that little one lamb that he had and he dressed it, which means that he killed the lamb and dressed him up for this, basically this stranger to eat. And how many times in our life have we took something from somebody and basically gave it to a stranger, took it from a relative or a loved one, and we gave it to a stranger? And so quite naturally, the gentleman was extremely upset, because that was his lamb. The rich man could have took, they said that he had plenty of herds and he had plenty of flock, that he could have took one that he probably would not have even missed and prepared him for this wayfaring man. And so it would make anybody mad to know, as the story was progressing, that this rich man had done this poor man like that, had took his last. And how many times has someone in your life took your last just because they could do it and they had a pocket full of money? That would be equivalent to what happened. They would, you know, you might go out to dinner and then they let you pay for the bill.
Yeah.
Or ask you to pay for the bill. and knowing that you only that you just barely can rub two nickels together. But this rich man, he didn't care. But then Nathan was setting, excuse me, he was setting a verbal trap for David. And this is what we must do when we begin to tell somebody about their wrongdoing. We just can't go confronting them, tell them, you're wrong, you ought to need, you need to be bored in awe, which a lot of us Christians do. We don't have no tact when it comes down to talking to people. We say, I'm gonna, you know, I know the Bible says if your brother is wrong, tell him of it, but it's a right way and it's a wrong way. Ecclesiastes know, let us know that it's a right way to do things and it's a wrong thing to do things. And so, progressing into the story, David began to get upset, and he even made some statements to Nathan telling him that the lamb, this man should be compensated. It should be compensated for his loss. And so later on in the story, David says that the Lord liveth, the man that does this thing shall surely die. Now see, David did not know that he was condemning himself. And see, sometimes we, when we do things, we don't have no idea that we are condemning ourselves. We don't have no idea until the punchline, as I said a couple of weeks ago, until somebody dropped a bomb on us and say, it's you. If somebody say, you are the one, they point the finger at us. And so, y'all skip before a minute. I got way ahead of myself. I read to you from Samuel, 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 7. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his word and his will, and he may edify our souls forever. Amen. And so,
amen.
Because, see, it's very important. We know that the Lord's word is blessed, but if we don't ask him to bless it, then people can take that word and turn it around and twist it and turn it out to be something that it's not. That is very important that after the reading and hearing of God's word that we ask the Lord to edify his word. In other words, we want him to build it up in your heart, in my heart, in our heart. And so,
amen.
And so he said, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. Now, can you imagine how an individual do things and don't have no remorse that they're doing what they're doing because they're not aware that they're offending somebody? And so Nathan told him, and he said to David, thou art the man. In other words, it's you. It's you that have done all of these things that have offended this man, that have taken from this man. And so last week, if I'm not mistaken, I beat up on everybody pretty good. I beat up on myself so bad because I couldn't go to sleep that night after the Lord gave me that because I was thinking about all the people that I may have offended. That just stuck in my mind so strong that I had to repent because I know that in my life that I had done some things and maybe have offended somebody that I would never see again, somebody that I would never run across. So I ask the Lord to forgive me because a lot of times we may say and do things in the name of the Lord, and we call ourselves doing it in the name of the Lord. But see, we got to be careful, and we got to do it in such a way that when you use the word of God, my opinion is that you're supposed to use it like a medicine and not as a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Because
that's
when you
right.
use it as a weapon, then that individual is going to be offended. But see, if you use it as a medicine, see, medicines heal and weapons kill. And the purpose is for us to heal that individual in such a way that it stimulate their intellect so that they will not go on and continue to do what they're doing. So David, he realized that he had done wrong. But sometimes we put a sentence on ourselves that we can't shake away from. David said, this man needs to surely die. I mean, you know how sometimes somebody do something around you or in your presence, or you hear about somebody doing something and you think that they're getting away with it. Well, I got news for you, my brothers and my sisters. God does not overlook sin.
That's
whatever that sin is, it may not have been the time for that preacher to say what it was that he had to say. Might not have been that time for somebody to react upon it. But you better believe that that sin didn't go away. It's still right there. But see, once again, Ecclesiastes tell us, the third chapter tells us that it's a time to speak and a time not to speak. And see, we don't want to publicly embarrass anybody. But if somebody continuously doing what they're doing, the first instruction in the church is, if your brother's wrong, tell him of it. And when after you tell him of it, if he don't heed to what you say, then you go and you get another brother, another witness, another sister, and you both go and tell that brother that he's out of line. And then it's a process that you got to do. And then if he continually to do what he's doing, then you bring him before the church. Because by that time, everybody knows what he's doing or what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
But see, when you first, you might be the first one to notice that that brother or that sister is doing whatever it is that they're doing. You just bring it to their attention. Well, you know, you're spending too much time doing this, or you're spending too much time doing that. Because see, we got to be able to confront in the right way, because people will become offended. They will go on the defense. They will, you know, how many times have you went to somebody and you got to move yourself out the way. I'll put it that way. You got to move yourself out the way to the extent that they can't scapegoat you, because there's been many times that I told somebody about their wrongness and or told them about this or that, and then they said, well, your wife ain't doing this, or your sister ain't doing this, or your son ain't doing that. So I have to be in that position. We have to be in that position that we cannot allow somebody to scapegoat us. But see, the lesson last week was for us to have that self-examination. It's you, and it's me, and it's us, because nobody, God is no respecter of person. We have to continuously do what it is that he would have us to do. But see, last week I beat you up, but this week I want to build you up. Because sometimes, you know, if God's word is constantly telling you and preaching you happy, there's something wrong with that, because he's got to tell you. We got to tell you. The message has got to tell you that the wages of sin is death. We got to tell you that it's a consequence for bad behavior.
Amen.
You know, if a preacher is constantly telling you about good things and about bad things, hey, you better run out of that church, because he's preaching at you. He's preaching at your pocketbook. He ain't preaching at you. But we got to be extra careful when it comes down to these things. Now, as I was saying, when we confront, it's you. And I'm going to say it's you, because the God, Lord can use somebody like you. He needs somebody like over there in Proverbs, when he tell the people, train up a child in the way in which he should go. So it's you that he needs to train up those children. And when he's older, he will not depart from it. See, it's a whole lot of jobs that we have out there that we can do. A whole lot of job that it's you. Now we go over here to the parable of the vineyard worker, when the people were out and they were standing idly by, and the Lord went out early in the morning. They said the husbandman went out early in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, which is the start of a new day. And there were people there. He said, come into my vineyard and work. And see, what I like about this here is that the Lord, he went out there and he recruited. Then he went out again and again. And this is very important. When it comes down to working for the Lord, somebody's going to throw a rock at me. You don't need no resume. And the reason I say you don't need no resume, because he already know what kind of life you live. He already know that you done been on drugs. He already know that you done did this. He already know that you done did that. All he wants you to do is come into his vineyard and work. He will clean you up if you're really sincere. And then later on in the day, he went out, and it was still people standing idly by. And he asked them, why are you standing here? They said, because no man will hire us. You know, I just got out of prison, and, you know, and they're not hiring any felons. The other one said, well, you know, I'm so hooked on drugs that you ain't got no use for me. The other one said, you know, I got to bridle my lying tongue. You know, I'm telling everybody that I'm 27 when I'm really 67. So we look at these things, and you don't need no resume when it comes down to what the Lord will have you to do. So they went into the vineyard. He told each and every individual, it's you. It's you. It's you that I need. It's a lot of things, and see, that has scared a lot of people off from the church. Because they say, when I get right, but I got news for you. you can't get right on your own. And if we go over to Isaiah, the sixth chapter, when the Lord needed somebody to go for him, say, who will go for us and who can we send? And see, Isaiah volunteered. He said, Lord, send me, I'll go. But before anything could be done, Isaiah, he made a confession. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I'm among people of unclean lips. So he realized that with how he was, that he couldn't go out there and represent the Lord in the way in which the Lord wanted him to represent. Because that's just like a drunken preacher. See, a drunken preacher or a flirty preacher or whatever, see, they can deliver God's word, but what sincerity do they have? What credibility do they have? But when the Lord cleans you up, when the Lord,
yes, Lord,
purged those lips of yours, when the Lord calmed down those wondering eyes and those touchy-feely moments that people sometimes have, see, Isaiah realized that, and that's why I say you don't need no resume, because Isaiah, he asked the Lord, he said, Lord, clean me up. I'm a man of unclean lips. So we have to realize that in order for me to do what it is that I need to do, in order for you to do what it is that you need to do for the Lord, we've got to clean up. And we can't clean up on our own. He has to be the one that cleans up. And to think about whatever your attributes are, whatever your assets are. Brother Brown's program is, are you an asset or liability to the Word of God? Now, those assets that you have, your organizational skills, your ability to fundraise, your ability to persuade people, the Lord can clean those things up, all those things that you do out there in the world. The Lord can clean them up and use them for himself. Mm-hmm. You don't have to quit dancing. The only thing is we just have to change partners.
You don't know.
And so moving right along, it's you. The Lord needs you in a mighty way. You might say, I done did some of everything, but see, don't you think now is the time to stop and turn from our wicked ways and seek the Lord's face and to hear from him? It's not too late, because he needs all of us. If you notice, when you join either a large church or a small church, they basically have an auxiliary waiting for you. Or brother, you know, all depending on how the Lord touched the pastor's heart, you might say, brother, I need you to do this. I need, you know, we need you to put you on the mission ministry. So it gives everybody a chance. And there shouldn't be no idle people in there like those vineyard workers, those ones that were sitting around and, and you're making excuses. But the Lord said, come into my vineyard and work. So as I'm saying, it's you. No matter, and see, sometimes we beat ourselves up and we feel in our minds and our hearts that we're not worthy. And believe it or not, I felt that way once upon a time. I was saying, Lord, you know, when I was called to be a deacon, I was shocked. I was amazed. I was humbled. I would go over to over into Canada playing bingo. You know, I was doing a few things that was contrary to what the Lord would have me to do. But I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, could you remove anything away from me that is going to stop me from building a better relationship with you?
Ooh,
and so we all have these type of situations that we have. We call them idiosyncrasies, our peculiar and our odd ways. But it's you. I'm appealing to you, my brothers and my sisters, that it's you. It's time to give some service unto the Lord. It's time to think back and ask the Lord, how could I be an asset in your services? I just don't want to be, you know, I just don't want to be the last man on the football team or the last man on the baseball team or the last man on the basketball team. See, those right there are known, the ones that never get a chance to play. In sports language, they call them bench warmers. In church, they call them bench warmers. They just come there and sit down and not participate. But then it's service. The Lord said, come into my vineyard and work. And whatever is right, I'll pay. So I wouldn't miss out on this golden opportunity right now. Even though sometimes the bench warmers become the best coach because they're sitting down. And they analyze, and you don't believe me? Phil Jackson was almost a bench warmer. Popovich, all of these people sat down and they studied. But see, while you're sitting down, learn what it is that you need to know about how to get in the game, how to contribute. Watch the moves of the other person. Watch their tendencies and see when you do this. And see the tendencies that I'm telling you to watch is to watch the tendencies of the demon. And when you watch these things here, the bench warmer, sometimes you could plot out a good strategy on how to stop somebody or how to stop something. Because sometimes when you in the heat of battle, things happen so spontaneous that you don't have time to take inventory until what they do after the game. They look at film. So it's you. Whatever position you take, whatever thing it is that you want to do, it's you. And as I say, I'm making an appeal. It doesn't matter what your denomination is. Don't matter what your faith is. It's time to get in the game. It's you. Because if two can put 10,000 to flight, just imagine what 100 can do. Just imagine what 1,000 can do. So we might look at it as it's inconsequential, but it's you. And when I say it's you, I'm saying that in the most kindest, the most thoughtful of ways. I don't care what your background is. God can use you.
Yes, Lord.
He'd have cleaned up, you know, he'd have put Lysol on me. He'd have bathed many people in Lysol. He'd have disinfected many people. So, you know, so we just have to want to. And it's not that I have to, it's because I want to. Just like Isaiah, he said, it's not that I have to, but Lord, I want to. Send me, I'll go. Can you say, send me, I'll go? Can you say that? Because it's you. And I'm emphasizing on that last week, as I was saying, I was pretty rough on everybody, telling them, hey, it's you that's doing things and blaming it on other people and not recognizing what it is that you're doing. It's you. It's you that... that's participating in unconscious sin. It's you that noticing the mote in your brother's eye and not noticing that telephone pole that's coming out of your eye. It's you that has that disassociative mentality. It's you that need that self-examination, as they say over there in 2 Corinthians. It says, let a man examine himself.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's time for that self-examination. It's you. It's you.
Yeah.
That need that self-examination. It ain't, I mean, it's me too. Don't get me wrong. When I say you, I mean me.
Or that's because we're in the body.
The world and see you.
Amen.
What I like
Amen.
About you is that you is, it's the only word that I know of that is singular and it's plural.
It's, that's right.
You know, you could address a crowd as you, or you could say, I'm speaking to you, and you're singling out one person. But when you say, I'm talking to you, then you could be talking to a crowd. So it's you. It's me.
Mm.
So my
a
question
a prophet.
Is, what are we going to do about it?
A prophet, can
yes,
you
sir.
Hear me?
Yes, sir.
Remember, all right. Remember Abel, right?
Yes, sir.
Abel was the first prophet, man. Brother killed him.
Okay.
He killed the first prophet, man. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
You know, yeah. So, you know, sometimes people are gonna kill us, spirits. They're gonna try to kill us, but you know they can't kill us. You know what I'm saying? They can't kill us
the reason why you want to kill them is that sometimes we have what is known as misdirected anger. Okay, he knew he couldn't take the old man down. A lot of times we become angry at somebody. And watch out now, and we take it out on somebody else. We have a hard time.
Right,
we have a hard time on the job, and we come home and we abuse the wife and the kids and kick the dog out. Why? Because that individual that we wanted to confront is holding the key to something, or they're more powerful. But we take out our frustrations on the most least threatening individual. And that's why a lot of wives have been abused, because their husband had a hard time on the job. That's why a lot of times when that alcoholic comes home, the kids hide in the closet. So we have to look out for those people that we have offended. We have to look out for them in such a way that we ask the Lord, I might not see that individual again, but Lord, I apologize to them.
Amen.
Lord, I repent in my heart because I was kind of harsh on them. And you know how sometimes we do things and it's to impress. It's to impress somebody, but guess what? We're offending somebody in another way.
Mm.
And it's a right way of doing things. And see, we're not supposed to do these things. We're supposed to, as I say, pull that brother to the side. But if that brother don't want to be pulled to the side, your options are limited. But in the meantime, it's you. We need somebody. God needs somebody to confront. But make sure, as I said last week, make sure that you were sent. Because I used the example of the sons of Sceva. Now, them brothers want confront that demon and say, man, get yourself out of here. But we know what happened with that. He came out and whooped them all up. And so I think they gave the thing to this movie that come on TV. They all were naked and afraid.
So, Lord have mercy.
We have to be careful. See, because when God sends you someplace, he going to give you the proper words to say.
And he do that.
He's going to tell you how to handle that situation, because you must move yourself out of the way. But it's you. It's you that God needs. The young man that just talked to me, it's you. The Lord needs you. He needs you to go out there and with that same enthusiasm, with that same thought that you had, to tell a dying world about him. Whoever's listening, God needs you. You know, we might, and don't never minimize yourself. I don't care what your situation is. Never minimize yourself and think that God can't use you.
I know.
Look at that young man that was on the other side that was tearing himself up and no chains or no fetters could hold him. But then when he came back, He's sitting all up there in a three-piece suit and everything, sitting there to the Lord. And they bought, you know how sometimes you think somebody's going to explode, but he's sitting up there all manly and everything. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. When before, he would cuss you out. So don't tell me that the Lord cannot. Don't tell me that the Lord can't use you. So, my brothers and my sisters, I hope that we got a good thought out of tonight's lesson. Because remember, it's you. And last week I told us about ourselves, about how we do things, and we don't even realize that we're doing it. But we got to become more self-aware. We got to do what it is that the Lord has asked us to do at the end of the day. So that's why a daily prayer life comes in at. At the end of the day, Lord, if I offended in any way, if I offended anybody in any way, Lord, please forgive me. And if I see them again, I'm going to ask them for their forgiveness. And Lord, if you can, I know that you could reach them before I can. Touch their heart and tell them whatever it was that I did, not to take it so hard. Mm. So, my brothers and my sisters, it's you. Always has been. It ain't no. It ain't about that preacher. It ain't about Deacon Cox. It ain't about Brother Brown. It's you. And once again, it's me. It's me. It's me, oh Lord. It's you. It's you. It's you, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. So
yes, Lord.
I thank you for your time. I thank you for this opportunity. I'm going to, Brother Brown said that he's going to open up the phone line, so we're going to, you know, spare a few minutes. So if anybody got any comments or got any questions to ask, they can. So thank you for the pleasure of your time, Brother Brown.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, the phone lines are still open. I have not closed them up yet. So if anybody want to make a comment to Deacon Marvin Cox regarding tonight's word, you feel free to do so right now. Give him words of encouragement if you want to, because, God, we all need each other.
Thank you, Brother Cox, for that word. That was, I needed that word. I needed to hear that.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Amen, Sister Jim. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know who the young
well,
man was from another. Yes.
It's you.
Yes, Lord. I know that's right. Yes, sir. That's my prayer, Lord. Send me, use me, Lord. You know, I pray all the time, and I'm always praying, Lord, you know, forgive me of all of my sins so that you can continue to use me. Use me to use me, yes, Lord, for your glory.
Yes. Do not.
Okay.
Yes,
do not. Brother Cox, this is Sister Walker from Detroit. I have a question for you. Now, you the Lord needs us and we need to get in the game. But what about when you're trying to do that, but your friends are trying to be a hindrance to you while you're trying to do that?
Well, there's only one thing that I could put on your mind. What's most important? Because you're going to, you know, whatever you do, whatever celebration you have, you're going to have some type of opposition because people are going to not want to see you progress. And see, the reason why they don't want you to progress is because it means that you might stop hanging with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's right. Yes, Lord. That's the truth now. Oh, yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Absolutely.
You know, we got, you know, the word says, you know, what profit a man to gain the world.
Gain the world.
Lose
his soul. Lose his
soul. And the thing about that, those could be some spiritual friends, but some people just don't want to see you progress.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, sometimes the Lord will use that situation to let you know, and he will reveal it to you through the Holy Spirit, through the discernment. He'll let you know that it's time. That person's season in your life is up and it's over, so you need to release them and let them go so that you can move forward and do what God has called you to do.
That's right. You got to think to yourself,
amen.
You know, that's a priority right there, you know.
Amen.
And sometimes we put so much emphasis on friendship, but if I love you, I'm going to support you coming to Christ.
I'm going to be your, you know,
thank you.
You done made me your number one cheerleader.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, on tonight, Deacon Myron Cox, I just want to say to you, you continue to do what God has anointed for you to do, and that is you are definitely being a blessing to the kingdom of God by spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. So we just continue to lift you up in prayer, and so you continue to stand on God's word. I know that a lot of people don't want to hear God's word, and I know a lot of people, I can use myself as an example. I'm not going to call his name, even though he has gone on to be with the Lord. He used to be my mother's insurance man. And before I went into the military, he would come to my mother's house to collect the insurance money. And I would always mention to him about Jesus Christ or coming to church. And he didn't want to hear that. And every time he would come to my mother's house, he would always ask her, is your son James at home? Because he didn't want to hear me. He didn't want to see me. But eventually, he came to church. He eventually gave his life to Jesus Christ. He became a member of St. James. And while he was at St. James as a member, I told him, I said, you've been a member of this church for too many years. You're sitting on the bench. It's time for you to do something. So he finally got into the choir. And he would go around telling people every time he met people, Brother James Brown got me saved. I told him, wait a minute, now hold on a second. No, I didn't get you saved. All I did was led you to Christ. So you open your whole mouth to confess your sins, and you ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart because I led you to the church, and then the Lord was working on your heart as you heard the word, and you received the word, then you received Jesus Christ in your heart and be saved. So I'm not asking you to give me no pat on the back and say, I've saved you. I did not save you. I led you to the house of God, and God is the one through the Holy Spirit that did the work. So that's all of our jobs. And just like you said in the word, Deacon Mark McCox, that's all about God. It's you, it's me, to get out of the hedges and the highways and be living witnesses until men and women that don't know who Jesus Christ is, because some people are not ever going to go to the house of God. We're the only Bible that some people are ever going to read. So we have to be careful how we live our lives so that we make sure that we are access to the kingdom of God, and we don't want to become a liability to the kingdom of God. And we don't, most definitely don't want to be a hindrance to anyone that calls someone to never give their life to Jesus Christ, or to call someone to stumble, a new baby in Christ that's trying to live right for God. And because they're watching us, they turn away and walk away from God. So we don't want to be those type of individuals. We want to be kingdom builders and not destroy God's kingdom. So I thank God for you listeners that have dialed in on tonight. And I thank God for Sister Gwen, my sister in Christ, and for other listeners that's on the line that have dialed in. I thank God for each one of you. And I know we have people all over the world that's listening to this broadcast tonight. We thank God for you. And I want you all to know that I constantly pray for the listeners that are faithfully tuned into this broadcast. Whether I know you or not, I continually lift you up in prayer. So I'm asking all listeners to continue to keep me in your prayers. Keep this ministry in your prayers, because it is truly growing. This is the worldwide ministry, and it's heard all around the world, and I give God the glory for it. It is marvelous in our eyes what great things God is doing through this worldwide ministry. And we just give God the glory for it. So we're getting ready to close out for tonight.
Brother Brown, before you close out, I got a message for the beautiful sister that asked me the question. Remember this, my sister, that people condemn things that they don't understand.
Don't forget to tune in this coming Saturday night. Minister Teron Eppinger, young minister of the gospel at the Morning Star Baptist Church, where Pastor Isaiah Tillman Jr. is the pastor and shepherd, and where I serve as a musician. He will be bringing forth God's word this coming on Saturday night, so you want to tune in and be blessed by him as well. Keep him in your prayers. He and his aunt are dealing with COVID right now, but he said he's still going to deliver God's word on this coming Saturday night. Keep him in prayer.
This is the second Saturday, Brother Brown.
Hold on just one second. No, I'm sorry. No, this is the first Saturday coming up. This is the first Saturday. No, coming up. You're next Saturday.
No, this is the second Saturday, Brother Brown.
Okay, that's all right. You know what? I'll get it together. I'm glad you corrected me because I had scheduled Deacon Minister Tumwine Eppinger for this coming Saturday. But I will give you a call after the broadcast. I'll give you a call.
Okay, that's no problem.
We got to close out in prayer. Okay, thank you, Deacon Margaret Cox, for understanding. We got to close out in prayer. I'm asking our listeners to please pray with me. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come tonight again, touching and agreeing, realizing and knowing that you are God and you are God alone. And you are worthy of our praise. No matter what we're going through, no matter what it looks like, we thank you that you are the Most High God, and all power in heaven and in earth is still in your hands. You sit high and you look low. You still watch over your word to perform it in the lives of your people. You are our promise keeper. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for who you are. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that lives in every believer. We thank you for every angel that you have encamped around your people that watches over us all through the day and all through the night while we slumber and sleep. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your grace and your mercy, even your sufficient grace toward us. We don't deserve it. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that still works, and we know that it would never lose its power. We thank you for your promise that lets us know that once we're saved in Jesus' name, that nothing and no one can pluck us out of your hands. So we can give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name because you're truly worthy to be praised, and we know that there is none like you. So, Heavenly Father, we ask that you continue to have your way in the lives of your people all over the land. Continue to bless this worldwide ministry. And every listener that tunes in faithfully, even to the new listeners on tonight for the first time, bless them all and grant them the desires of their hearts that will give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, know that I love
Amen.
You, listeners.
Amen.
And know that God loves you even more. So until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.
Amen. Good night.
Good night.